I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Love you. You love him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lifted up,
you believe that?
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. You know, as many times as Moses had come so close to God, but you know, he still wanted to see him. You know what? God allowed him to see him. Sure, he got to see the back part, but he got to see him, though. That was something, wasn't it? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1. We're going to start a series kind of on the study of the book of Revelations, but this is actually leading up to Revelations 5, where we really want to get to and speak a while in Revelation 5 and Revelation 6. But I want to get this part anchored real good in you to have a better understanding, you know, of what we're talking about. Amen? But we just pray that the Lord would bless those that are traveling. Brother Mark, Brother Donnie and them are coming back home, I think, starting out today and traveling and then coming home from there. And Wade and June will be there for a week and coming home Monday of after this, not this coming Monday, but the next one. And so just a little vacation time. So just pray for these. The Lord would take care of them and all. Amen. Revelations 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, most of all for you being our Father and being the one that would lead us and guide us, that you'd give us eternal life, that you'd come down and dwell among us. You'd make a way that we might receive your life into our being, that we could rest in you and be your children, be your offspring. And we pray that you would just bless each one, Lord. And remember, you promised you'd heal us. And Lord, we thank you for it. You said you sent your word and you healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we thank you. And we ask you to just have your way now as we read your word, as we talk about you. You come on the scene and, Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Truly open the eyes of our heart, Lord, because that's what we need. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, 1 through 3. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now I want to get, like I said, a few things to our hearts and minds and our thinking. And then we will be speaking from Revelations 5 and going on into Revelation 6. Brother Branham actually says that in Revelations 5, he said, this is the opening of those seals in Revelation 5. So then, you know, we need to get an understanding, and maybe we'll get down to that eventually. I'm kind of slow, but I'll get there and all like that. I hope you enjoyed this morning. And I was trying to bring out some points there on it, but, you know, you get so much packed in until I didn't get to part of the message that I wanted to get to. Because, see, I believe that Jesus Christ had the resurrection sign. Not only that he was raising the dead, that was it, you know, but he had the word that would raise the dead. Right, because he was that word. All right. And he could raise the dead. And see, that was the sign of the resurrection, preceding the coming of the point to where that he would pay the price and do all of the things. And that would be the sign of the resurrection. We'll then see Brother Branham coming in the last days. And, you know, like I've always told you, then you don't find Paul, Peter, James, John, and them writing other than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John now is writing about the Son of Man, because that was writing at the time. But you don't find any of the apostles speaking of, even Paul with the greatest of understanding, he never mentions the Son of Man. Because that was not for their time. It was not an understanding for them. But then you hear Brother Branham starting out in the first part of his ministry, you know, and he's talking about the Son of Man. And he's talking about the sign of the Son of Man. All right? And see, the sign of the Son of Man was the fact of the Word being brought back to the position to where that he could stand there and declare those things, and the dead would be raised because of the opening of the Word. And that would be, you know, the point. So, you know, and I see, I believe this message is the resurrection message. Now, this message of the prophet that is brought unto us, that is the resurrection message. All right? So then we're not looking for something to come to change us. No more than we were talking about this morning, the prophet saying, your resurrection is inside of you. All right? All we need to do is just get it outside of us, right? I mean, that's as plain as we could be in as short in terms, but we need to get it into manifestation. And to me, that's the stature of a perfect man, the things the prophet taught of what we need that. But I just, you know, I didn't have time to bring it and all, but they said, Richard said, I run out of battery. He said, we've taken an hour battery and trying to stretch it for an hour and a half. So they suggested that not that I get another battery, so you can figure on the rest of it. But now, let's just think about it. You know, the book of Revelation is a great thing, and I will repeat this repeatedly throughout the message, not today as much, but as we're going along in the series. Because you know what I believe. The Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, that page 13, and I won't use it here, we'll do it later, that this is the only book in the Bible, whereas that Jesus Christ himself appearing personally to a scribe to write. All right? So then there where we read, you know, this is a revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. That's not Trinitarianism. That's not no forms of that. It's just the basis of what was actually taking place. And in doing that, then we'll see, you know, what it is in the understanding. All right? And follow it a little closer, but it's the only book the prophet said that, whereas Jesus personally appearing to a scribe, all right? Then if that's what happened there, then he's writing, but he's writing, as we'll read in just a second, he's writing about himself in the church. Now, you find nowhere, and I ask you to do this if you can find it, you find nowhere in the book of Revelations, you find no place that Jesus Christ is by himself. All right? Now, I want you to show it to me if you can find it, you know, through the opening of the seals, through the different things, and showing that it'll take place and where it takes place and all that. But he's never shown by himself. Because it's the book written, but it's the book written about him in his church. All right? Now, so then I preached a series back quite a while ago on a little thing to let you know that it was showing it that in that book he appears in the people or with the people, mainly in the people. It's very rarely you'll see him mentioned about him even being there. It's him in the people to reveal himself, and it's a future book. So then it's your book. You remember I preached that series on, I called it the Bride's Book. See, the book of Revelation is actually our book. If you want to know where you're at, read the book of Revelation. Oh, of course, we were told by mankind, you can't understand this, you can't understand that. Stay out of the book of Revelation. All right, I'll read it to you in a minute. Why that has been said to us, you know, to stay out of those things? Because Satan don't want you to realize who you are and what's going on. So if you was to tell me, say, Brother Dale, I want to take away everything you've got, and you're going to prison, et cetera, whatever you're going to do, put me on Isle of Patmos, that'd be all right. Wouldn't make no difference. But you're only going to be allowed to take one book. Well, naturally, we'd say the Bible. But then they'd say, okay, now you're only going to be allowed to take one book out of the Bible. You know, well, I'd take the book of Revelation. I would. Because in that, I could find myself. Because I know it's talking about me. All right? It's not talking about somebody else. It's not talking about what Paul and them could prophesy. And they were speaking personal for the hour they were living. But this is the message straight to us, and we thank God for that. All right. Now, as I said, people has taught us to stay out of the book of Revelation because we can't understand it. You got these symbols. You got all these things in there. Well, we've had a prophet to come down and tell us what these things mean. All right? So thank God for the prophet to bring the message. And if you notice in Revelations 1 there that we were reading, it says the prophecy, the words of this prophecy. All right? And see, I gave it to you, so go ahead, Brother Joe, and pull up. And Brother Anderson. No, he's not that. Okay, we got another one today. Who is that? Brother Joe, I guess. Pull up number one. I just like to give you these things where you can look at them. Because remember, as I was saying the other day about it in the message there, see, we talk about prophecy, prophesy, prophecy. All right, prophecy. Prophecy. That's what's written in Revelation there. All right. Prophesy is more or less like the prophet speaking. You know, I mean, God speaking through somebody, all right, you know, and doing. But the word prophecy is more or less, and the best way I can give you the definition to why I see it, is prophecy is a unfolding or gathering together to show us what's in the book, all right? See, it's an unfolding of the book because it's the prophecy, all right? And see, then you see here it says prophecy, which is from the Greek word 4394. In other words, a discourse emitting, or in other words, a message or a wording that you're bringing forth. That's the prophet is prophesying, see, to do, all right? But the word prophecy is a discourse emitting, ever how you pronounce the words, from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. See, so it's a setting in order of scriptures. All right? So you can see then that the prophet of God, the one we believe in the end time, God gave him this to say to us, and what he's given unto us, the message then, is a prophecy, prophecy, because it's a setting in order of the scriptures, all right? It is not just a man saying things. All right. So you see what it's doing? It's a discourse and meaning from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. Whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things hidden. All right. Whatever it be, then let it be that now as to come forth. A prophecy. See, then don't get into it and say prophecy, prophesy, you know. I'm just trying to do that to where it'll give you an understanding of prophecy. So thank God. See, without the prophet, now, listen. Without the prophet to expound the word or to take this book of prophecy and speak upon it and unveil it or reveal it, see, then the denominational systems is right, or the people that don't get in the book of Revelation. See, because you don't understand what the symbols are. But we have had a message, see, to bring it to where we can understand what is being said. if you want to know what this means, then just go look up the prophet, you know, see what he says that it means. And then just say, well, that's it. And what always caught me, because that was the thing that caught me when I came into the message, was it was a man that God could use to do all of those things. But yet he could explain things so simple that I could understand it. See? You know, a child can understand what the Bible means, the book of Revelations means. Why? Because a prophet has expounded it so simple. Why didn't we read it that way? You know, why didn't we read it that way to start with? But see, we had this big mind of the things that we'd been taught, see, that you can't understand these things. All right? Now, I'm going to give you what the prophet had to say about it then, so let's find out what he said. But let's see who it's to and what it's about. Go ahead with number 2A, Brother Joe. And I had to add these in. And Terrence said, we don't have no add-ons. I said, okay, put it to end. I'll move it to the front. You know? But on the message, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, now this is 1960, 1204, so this is not church age book, paragraph 80. He's talking about when our Lord and comes to the earth and things. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know this hour or time. They're talking about his second coming. And no one would know, that even the Son as yet did not know. You remember that in the scripture? He said the Son didn't know. He didn't know about his coming. All right. But now read this very carefully with me. You know, I'm not going to be in no hurry about this, trying to do the study, because I'm going to just tie it together if we can. But look, but after his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension into glory, he, speaking of Jesus, right, received from God the Father of the church. I mean, God, the future of the church. All right. Now watch. He received from God the future of the church. Now the question is, the thought is about his coming. Right? Now, he immediately puts his coming in the church. He's not speaking of a physical coming of the skies, the opening up. See? The prophet is immediately placing it in order to where he's talking about, see? But after his death, burial, and resurrection, see, then you'll see why that it says that the revelation that God gave to Jesus. All right. Now, Jesus, when he was here in flesh, sure, he was Almighty God in flesh. But he was flesh, too. All right? So it was withholding from the flesh man. You say, well, how in the world could that be? Because he was God. Well, just the best way to answer that is, why would he say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel? Why would he say that? See, that was revealed to him that day when he sat down. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. All right. So you say, but yet he was Almighty God. That's true. You have the Holy Ghost, don't you? You claim the new birth. Do you know everything? Oh, what's wrong? The Holy Ghost in you knows all things. Right? But see, there's a lot of problems getting that back out of there from down inside up to the head. And then the biggest problem is getting it from up in the head down into the heart. So, you know, I'm just being honest. That's the way Jesus was. See, that he, then when he was on earth, that was withholding. All right? But then after his death, burial, and resurrection, now when he comes to John on Patmos, see, but after his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension into glory, he received from God the future of the church. Then he returned back, and watch, to bring this message to the church. Now, that's not the coming on the day of Pentecost. Now, that had to take place to where this could happen, right? Because he had to put the Holy Spirit within us to understand. But that's not what he's talking about, to return back to bring this message to the church. And this message of his coming and the condition of the church is down through the age. That's what's happening here in the book of Revelation. See? It's unfolding now what it's doing. It's very simple, isn't it? He could not do it before his death, burial, and resurrection because he had not yet knew it. But did you notice how the scripture reads here? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, Christ. He gave it unto him to bring down. All right. Now watch. How that God the Father gave the revelation to his Son, Jesus Christ, and he sent his angel to John to signify these things which was, which is, and which is shall be. Oh, it's so beautiful. You see, it's beautiful. All right. Now, so it's not a Trinitarian concept. It's the fact of that while Jesus was here on the earth, there was things that was withholding from him that would be made known. All right. Then he would have to come himself to personally appear to John to write. All right. And in appearing to John to write it, it would be bringing forth the revelation to us. But what I want you to get is, you missed the whole thing of one point. He's going to show his future point in the church. Because the church is going to be his coming. He didn't know when he was coming. Right? Now see, we're thinking coming means the day. Oh, here he comes down out of the sky. He drops down. No. See, his coming has been in motion since the day of Pentecost. The second coming I'm talking about. Easily to understand the first coming, he walked up on earth. But the second coming of Jesus Christ, see, that's where everybody's looking out there for it. One of these days, the sky's going to open. One of these days, it's going to happen. No, he's been coming for 2,000 years. See, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's where people miss it. They're looking for some kind of a great toot-to-doot horn and the different things that happen and see him walk down and all. And see, that's what they're taught. But he started his second coming on the day of Pentecost by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now he's coming to John to explain this of what it would be. And he explains the church ages, right? Chapter 2 and 3. Come on. Then he goes through 4, 5, and then he goes through the other things of showing the entirety of the future, as it was said here, to the church. Huh? But he's going to show the church. See, that's what we're looking at. We think that God's going to show the church something. No, God's going to show the church who she is. That is something. See? That's the concern I want to be, is who am I? All right? We sang the song, Who Am I, Lord? You know? All right? But, see, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not a physical, corporal coming down. That will happen, but not as a physical. It never happens that way. We meet him in the air. We go meet the corporal body, the prophet said, in the air, and he does not set his feet back upon earth until the millennium. All right? So we're not looking for a physical coming. That's why the prophet would say, he said, these people that say they got oil on their hand, blood and oil and things like that, he said, they're saying that the second coming is already here. You never heard Brother Branham talking about oil and blood and things. You didn't hear Jesus, Paul, or any of them talking about blood here and doing this and doing that. No. Why? Because that would be making the physical coming. If you had the blood of Jesus here, that would mean he's physically here. And see, that's not scriptural. Because he's not going to be physically here. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to a millennium, and then when that's finished, then he comes here. And we come riding back with him. All right? So then you'll see the point that what I'm trying to get at, that it's God is going to reveal himself of his coming, but he's doing it by showing you how his coming takes place. It's in you and I. It's in you and I. All right. Is that right now? See, that's why Satan is the one, see, that's always said you can't understand the book of Revelation, you can't understand Genesis. All right? Why? Because it's the two books that shows his origin and his ending. Right? It shows his origin and his ending. Now, it's easy to follow Genesis as origin and talk about Satan, you know, and the created, the anointed cherub, etc. And then we can, you know, jump over. But my point I want you to see is one thing. The prophet of God said that when Jesus went up, that when he was there hanging on a cross, he said Judas was hanging on a cross. Right? He said, and Satan took Judas. Jesus went to hell, but you know, Satan took Judas. Judas went to hell. Why? Because he'd rejected the word. Right. Now, but he said on the resurrection, all right, Jesus rose. All right. But we don't watch. There was another raising there because Satan was going to start raising. Right? Okay. Now, then on the day of Pentecost, the prophet said that Jesus came back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, and Satan came back in the form of the Antichrist. All right? So then everything God does, Satan follows it. Right? That's why you notice in the Bible that it doesn't talk about him being the Satan incarnate until the later part of the book of Revelation. Why? Because he don't know how to do it. That's just the truth. He has to follow God. Now, Brother Brown said it like this one time. He said he types after God. Now, he's not a type of God. You know, no. He types after God. In other words, he does what he does after God moves. When God went up, he went up. When God come down, he come down. All right? So then now we see him as the point that he don't want this book of Revelation to be understood. Because it shows his origin. All right? And it shows his destruction. So he hates the book of Revelations because he doesn't like that part there that where he can see. All right? Okay, let's go to number 2 on your notes, Brother Joe. All right? This is page 14, Church Age Book. Have you ever noticed how Satan hates two books of the Bible more than all others? Now watch. Through liberal theologians and, how is that, pseudo-scientists, I guess that's what you pronounce it. He is always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. Now, who is he attacking? He's always attacking it through the theologians and the people, see? And then it comes down to the people, right? All right, that's your Deeds of the Nicolaitan we'll read in a second. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways and his destruction. All right. That is why he attacks them. Like I've always tried to tell you, if the devil tries to tell you something about yourself, just tell himself, well, one of these days you're going to be destroyed. You don't ever talk to him. Oh, you're not going to like this one. We spend 90% of our time talking to the devil and 10% talking to God, whether you like that or not. Oh, I'll tell you what, I don't talk to the devil. No wonder he's done got you. He only talks to the people he don't got. Is that good English? Right? See? In both of these, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways and destruction. That is why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And in those books, he is exposed for exactly what he is. Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me, and I have no part in him. Now listen to that. That's something, isn't it? That's scripture. The devil would like to prove that different. Now why would the devil like to prove that statement that Jesus says that he has no part with me? Why would he like to disprove that? Come on, why would the prophet bring that out? Because you see, the devil has always tried to make himself God, right? And I've always told you, and I believe it. The devil, he's a dummy. I agree. Destructor, you know, destructive. But he's also very smart. The Bible says he's wiser than Daniel. All right. Brother Brown said, don't tackle him. That's what he said. He said, don't tackle him. He said, don't even tackle that good Baptist theologian. He said, he'll tear you apart with the word. All right. But you see, the devil, he wants to get back where he was, standing beside of the Lord. And he figures if he can get enough help on his side, and if he ever makes it back to there, then he may be able to conquer and take over. You know. But you see what the prophet, look what he's making the emphasis. See? It exposes what he is. Jesus said, he has no part in me and I have no part in him. See, if he can get some way and connected back and get close. And you know that Brother Branham says that we call him Jesus, Jesus, and worship the devil. Now, he didn't say if you call him Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's anybody knows that. He said that comes from the pits of hell. But he said you can call him Jesus, Jesus, and worship the devil. No, I know who he is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know how you make that out, too. You make that out like I always try to express it. You ask people, how do they know that's God? Oh, he comes to me so sweet and so humble. When the devil comes to me, he's mad and horrid, you know. I have been told to sit down and shut up by the Holy Spirit. And it certainly wasn't the devil telling me that. Because he was telling me the truth that I needed to quit crying like a baby and get up and walk. But you see, that's what we think. Oh, he's so sweet and humble. He wasn't too humble when he plaited a rope together and drove them out of the temple. Now, they didn't think he was. They thought the kind old priest was Jesus. Right? They didn't think about that being God. Okay, get on. The devil would like to prove it different, but he cannot. So he does all he can to destroy confidence, watch, in the word. But when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. All right. See, now he don't like it because it shows his destruction. All right. Look. Now here is his origin. I told you a moment ago, I said it's easy to see his origin in Genesis because, you know, talking about his creation. But we're trying to move over into where we are in the study of the book of Revelation. So in the book of Revelation, watch his origin. Revelation 2:6, For this thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate also. That's bringing him into view, because that's the deeds of the Nicolaitans, conquer the laity. That's his origin in the New Testament. We'll see in a minute what he uses to do. You ought to have seen it by the quote we gave. He tries to discredit the word. All right. So then that's where he takes over the Nicolaitans? Conquer the laity. The what? By perverting the word. All right. That's his origin. Watch his destruction. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil that deceived them was cast into. So that's his destruction. So if he tries to tell you you ain't worth nothing, say there's one thing about it. I can show you where you're going. See? And what'll be taken care of. See? Just talk to him. You say, oh, I ain't going to dare talk to him. Now, why? Just tell him. But use God's word. See, because you try to use your own thoughts and everything, you know, it won't work. Look at the next one, number 3. You know? This is page 15, Church Age Book, or the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me show you another reason why Satan hates this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. Now you notice, maybe you didn't understand my point a while ago, but just read it. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where? In the church. All right, watch that. He knows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He knows that a whole lot more than do 90% of the theologians. He knows that since God is immutable in his nature, which means unchangeable, you know, he doesn't change, then he is just as immutable in his ways. Thus Satan knows assuredly that the original church at Pentecost with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus claims as his own. All else is false. It has to be. See, my point now, get it. I like to keep making statements over and over. It don't bother me. It may do you, but... See, this revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But why didn't, in other words, why didn't... This is what we think happened. We think it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to Jesus to give to John. And I ain't going to signify it, you know. Huh? See, we think, well, this is a great revelation of Jesus. Oh, he's up into the heavens. He's up there. He's gone beyond all of the stars, the rainbows, the moon, the skies, and all, and showing him up into the heavenly heavens and all of that. But that's not what happened. Because he wasn't up there doing that. Then the time the book of Revelation was written, AD 95-96, see, he had already come back into the bride. So where is his coming? Oh, it's way up in yonder, and one of these days the skies will split. No, I tell you what I used to think. Somebody told me when you seen the coming of the Lord, you go out in a cloud and you look and they'd see a great big umbrella. I never did understand how to come up with that, but there'd be a great big umbrella that would be out and he'd be hanging down on the bottom looking, you know. And that's what I thought. What'd you think? But you see, he's coming in his church. You don't get nothing out of the message today. Get that point. He's coming in his church. And he's going to reveal himself in his church. See, we think he's revealing himself to the church. See, that's that seeing the great bigs where he is and all of what he does, all these rainbows and all. Yeah, no. He's revealing himself in his church. And that's what Satan hates. He don't want you to get the revelation of who you are. I got to watch that clock now because I remember I started early. But get the point now. If you don't get nothing else, get the point. There's two things Satan hates. He hates the book of Revelations and Genesis because it shows his origin and his destruction. Okay. Now, but truly, the book of Revelations shows Jesus Christ and where he's at. And it proves his coming is in manifestation. I believe in a corporal coming. Come on. A physical coming. Right. And I know Brother Branham can see. He even said it this way. He said he'd be so visible among us that he'd raise the dead and we'd go into rapture. Okay, right. But that's still not corporal. That's not physical. That's in you and I. All right. But see, the book of Revelation shows Jesus Christ and where he's at. And it shows his working in the church. All right? He doesn't like it for us to find out who we are. Right? He don't like it. All right. Now watch. Now let's get to number, where we're at. In order three, go to number four. Well, Satan doesn't like this at all. He don't want you to see this. Page 15, Church Age Book. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Now, Brother Dale, we ain't nothing like the book of Acts. We're back there. We know the book of Acts. No. But you know what? They wouldn't want to come down here where we're at and swap places with us. They had Pharisees and Sadducees and a couple of Herodians or something to put up with in the book of Acts. We got 969, that was a long time ago, 69 different denominations and 2,000 denominations in this message. That's just a small number. They say there's well over 1 million followers of this message today. Thank God. I thank God for every one of them. You say, well, now fear not, little flock. Well, 1 million is a whole lot less than 7 billion. So it would be fear not, little flock, if it was over 1 million going to rapture. Right? That would still be, and I can't even count that high, can you? I remember when we was in school, they told us you take $1 bills. I forgot what the room was, like a 12 by 12. And they took 1 million $1 bills and lay them in and fill the room up. You know. Boy, thought back then, you know, who'd ever be a millionaire? Now you can have $1 million today and broke tomorrow. Right? Billionaires. Now what are they going up? Trillion. What is them words we were talking about the other day, Timbo, zillions, and what's them words we were trying to figure out what they were? How many billion it take to make a zillion, and how many, always trying to figure something on it. But think about it, church. God is trying his best to get you and I to see who we are. He designated one whole book. Now surely we can understand that the Gospels was written about the bride of Christ. Paul and them writing, Peter and them, and all the writing was about the bride of Christ, right? But the book of Revelations is a personal book that shows you and I and where we're at. All right? And I like what he says. See, and I'll get to that if I have time to end the message. If you don't, we'll get to it Wednesday. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. I've told you before when two brothers were sitting talking one time, we were hunting, and one of them said that the Holy Ghost you didn't have no baptism of the Holy Ghost now. And the other one said, well, the day I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was fully adopted, manifested son. I said, well, one of you's on one end of the ladder and the other's on the other end of the ladder, and I'm going to try to stay in the middle somewhere. You know, and I meant it, and I tried to express it. Brother Brown said he met people who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said exactly like the day of Pentecost. Now, that's what your prophet said. I see people say, oh, no, the Holy Ghost ain't here. Well, now, right here, what did he say? Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. See, we go out the wrong way. Like my wife years ago, she made a good point about it, and I like to make the emphasis. See, it wasn't the Holy Ghost that was eat down in the ages. You have no such thing. It's the Holy Ghost never age. Every age had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the Word that was eat down. It's the Word to be restored. Right? Come on, put it in the right order. Well, look, but the book of Acts shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it. Now, what's it doing? Making it lukewarm, formal. Did I say something wrong? Come into the church and defile it. Making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. All right? It exposes Satan revealing his works. What is revealing Satan's work? Attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. All right? Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and what she can do, the greater works, she will be an invisible army. All right? If they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Now, what's two spirits? See? Oh, well, that's the devil and God. Well, that's good. That's good. But just don't push them so far apart. Right? See, because that Antichrist, that white horse rider, was so deceptive in the line of Christianity, we would call him, until he deceived everybody. Until the prophet came. Right? The church that started out being the persecuted wound up being the persecutors. But everybody's still going to heaven. You know they're going to do away with hell. Have you read that? They're going to have to do away with it because ain't nobody going. Every time you go to a funeral, they preach them to heaven. Well, he's got his place in heaven. He's got this place. Well, that's all right. I hope they do. I don't mind doing a little work if we want to spread it out. I wouldn't mind it. But I just know it ain't going to happen. But look now. Get a true revelation of the two spirits. That Antichrist spirit is so close. There is not but one thing you can deal with it about. And the prophet of God said, it's whether or not the spirit in you agrees with the word. Now, agrees means more than just agree. Like I said this morning, people agree. And they say, Brother Branham brought us the grace of marriage and divorce, and bless God, I'm free. I had three wives, but now I don't have none. I'm free, and all this, that, and the other. But you know, I just don't agree with his teaching. Now, that's about as carnal as I can think about anything being. If you're going to believe what he says on one thing, why can't you believe it on another one? All right? Now, but see the two spirits. See all the churches around the world. How many professing Christians? I remember at one time, this is 20, 30 years ago, there was 500 million Catholics. I remember that because I remember reading it. That's been 20 years ago. How many so-called Christians would there be today? Just a number. 1 billion out of 7, would that be okay? But you realize 1 billion would be a lot of people. And everybody's going to heaven. And everybody's going to be the bride. Right? The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Branhamites, the Lulaites. I don't ever mind saying. I ain't preaching nowhere else. I'm preaching to Lulaites, trying to get us converted to be Christians. Huh? But you see, the two spirits. How do you know that that's the Holy Spirit that's talking to you? How do you know? Do you know how to try it? You can't try it by looking somebody in the eye. That was old Pentecostal. Well, look, you know, your spirit's not too good because it don't show up too good. Say, yeah, I got a headache. No. What about it? I've heard God speak times. As I said a moment ago, and sometimes it's sweet and sometimes it's not. I've told you this, and I've always told it because I tell it for his honor. I was driving down the road one day, and a voice told me, that when you pass that corner, there'll be a beautiful woman standing there washing a car. This is clear. Been better if I'd have believed it quicker if Brother Collie had been sitting there and told me. Went around. I said, how do you know? I turned around that corner, looked over, and there stood a girl washing a car in a bikini. I said, Satan, get out of here. He said, oh, no, that was God talking to you, Brother Dale. No, because he would have told me some other things about that woman if it had been him. All right. Do you know the difference? We've got the message to check what somebody's teaching. Right? Well, Brother so-and-so says it's this way. That's those deceiving spirits. Well, the prophet ordained him. Like the brother used to say it, boy, everybody used to run around wanting to know. Well, I'm just mean enough, and I got aggravating enough, I guess, to ask. But this brother used to go about the country preaching, Brother Branham told me what to preach, and I'm going to preach it. Well, everybody, what did he tell that brother? Oh, he told him a secret, because at one time they believed he was one of the thunders. You remember that? When they had the seven thunder message, they had seven men named off to be, each one of them was to be a thunder, and this was one of them. Well, I happened to be sitting in his home a little bit with him, and I just asked him, what did Brother Branham tell him? He said, he told me to preach hell hot. I said, well, good. That's what Brother Branham told every preacher. Preach hell and it hot. See, everybody else thought it's some kind of mystery. I found out what the mystery was. He told him to preach hell and it hot. But listen, church, You don't try a spirit by some form or your feelings or ideas. Why would Brother Brown emphasize the two spirits in the framework of the church, he said? Now, let's don't go with it in a way, you know. See, we can look at it like and say, well, boy, I tell you what, I can really see that Antichrist down there in that Pope because he's demanding them people worship him, you know. But that's easy to see. So it's got to be more deceiving than that. Remember my illustration a moment ago? When God moves up, Satan moves up. God moves up, Satan moves up. All right. So when God come in the last days through the opening of the Word, Satan comes right in there and he said, attempted destruction of God's Word. We just read it. All right. What about the people of this message destroying this message? Preachers I'm talking about. I'm not talking about laity. I ain't never had no trouble with laity. I have trouble with preachers. And this is what it is. And then take a lot of times, and people give you, there's a man up north up yonder that believes we're going to get another body. It ain't this body redeemed. And he'll quote Brother Branham more than I do. But it's twisted, see. You can do that. How do you know what I'm telling you is the truth? Well, Brother Dale, we got confidence in you. A lot of people say they got confidence in the Pope, and we surely don't want to follow him. Do you have the Holy Spirit? The only way, I know I ain't going to get to it, but the only way that you'll ever know anything about God and his ways is to have the Holy Spirit. That's the qualification. And then why would ministers in this message say you don't have the Holy Spirit? You're just anointed with it or something. Destroying God's Word. Right? Think about it. The two spirits. So we'll just end on this part right here. The two spirits. So close together. Pull that back up, Brother Joe, and we'll finish reading it, and then we'll quit. Of the two spirits. Think about it. So close. Until the Bible said it would deceive the very elect if possible. Now, here's what everybody quote. Oh, but the elect can't be deceived. Now, I know that quote. But you won't dare quote this one. Brother Branham said, frankly, it would get the true church so messed up he'd have to cut the work short. Now, you want that quote? Oh, I can't be deceived. I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues when I got it. Well, no, we don't believe it that way. Well, I believe the prophet. What's the difference? What's the difference in speaking in tongues or believing the prophet? What's the difference in it? What's the point you want to make? You say, I believe the prophet. I believed the prophet for 2 years, and while I was studying in this message for 2 years, and I was a deacon at 23 years old, so you know I must have been honored pretty well. And I was teaching adult Sunday school classes, which was the deacons and elders when I left the Baptist church at about 27, 26. But you see, when I seen what Brother Brown was talking about the Holy Spirit, I said immediately, I don't have that Holy Spirit. And it wasn't my life because I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't run around, I didn't do anything. A lot of it was with self-control. I didn't do it. But when I saw what he was talking about, the Holy Spirit and a person that would come and live in me, I knew I'd talked to that person and I'd seen that person before. Because I told you about it, I seen him when I was 11 years old, standing in a church. But I never made that my experience of the new birth. Well, you believe the message? I've had preachers tell me that. Well, so does the devil. Does that make him saved? Well, you're such a great, you can quote it, so can my computer. It certainly don't have it because it messes up on me. I have to get these brothers out. Come on. A while ago, Richard and Emma changed one out and they forgot to fix it where the the printer would work, and I'd go, come on, Brother Benny. I got enough of them around here. I just holler, come on, one of you, straighten this business out, because I can't do it. But it don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only hope as an individual person that you and I have to keep Satan from destroying us. Look what he says. And if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, look, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, all right, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted, everybody say thwarted, thwarted today, as when Christ withstood his forever effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With the true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, but we will prevail over them. Get a revelation of the two spirits. And they're definitely not out there. They're in this message right here, claiming the message. And I'm not against anybody. You know better than that. You have heard me know better than that. You've been here with me. I'm not against anybody. You know, you can believe your big toe is God if you want to. I'm honest. Because you're going to believe something. Why not believe it's your big toe? But just don't ask me to kiss it. That's the only thing that I'm saying. Don't ask me to believe it. We was in a meeting one time, and this great man, if I called his name, everybody would know him. Brother Colin was sitting there, and this brother said, Brother Branham said so-and-so. He said, now you raise your hand if you would differ with me or want to know something. He said, but don't pick. And he said, right, Brother Dale. I said, Brother Branham didn't say that. He said, yes, he did. See, that's where a lot of people, you know, is. Yes, he did. I said, no, he didn't. I said, here's what he said. Doop, 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 doop. This other brother there is a well-known brother in the message. He called that man's name. He said, Brother Dale is right. Brother Branham didn't say that. Well, I'll say it. I said, continue on. You say what you want to. Just don't say Brother Branham said it in front of these people here that don't know that he didn't say it. When I went to the Philippines, I cried. The two soul doctrines and the thing like had it filtered through the Philippines. See, they didn't have any quotes from the message to defend it. They were at the mercy of the best that they could do because they were trying to believe Brother Branham was a prophet. And people would go over there just like that man and saying, Brother Branham said so-and-so. Well, he's a big name. And one time I did cry because this brother said, you know what to do? He said, here we talk about Peter, Paul, James, and John. He said, when you go to the foreign fields and all like that, he said, they talk about, you know, big names in this message. Lee Vail, Perry Green, Jack Palmer, whatever, you know, names in the message. And I cried. If that's all those people knew. They were at the mercy of those people. Brother Brown said, I'll be glad when the church gets to the place that they stand up and say, Paul didn't say that. If I don't say it the way the prophet, I'm talking about not quote verbatim to where, you know, that every word has got to be perfect. I'm talking about if I don't stay with what he said, come and show me. I may not agree with you. I may not turn down, you know, and just fall down. And I've been hit like that with people telling me things. And I don't just fall over dead because I don't believe it. But if the Lord ever reveals to me, I'll do it. But you know what I'll do? I'll come right back out here to the next service and I'll call your name and say, you come to my office and showed me where I was wrong. Now, if you want to believe what he's saying, her saying, who's saying, or what's saying, you go right ahead. But this is what I'm going to say until the Lord tells me different. Then when he tells me, I'll be glad to tell it. Because I'm not the final authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is. But think on these things. The book of Revelations. Come on, musicians. The book of Revelations is your book. Your name. You want to know your name? Read it. And to the church of Laodicea. I'm not a Laodicean. Well, where you at? Where's the age you're in? Laodicea was the last one. There's not another church age. Where are you at? Right? But you see, people can scream and holler, but yet can they sit down and talk about the Word? To just see, the book of Revelations is my book. My name is in the book. Brother Branham, what did he say? He said, now, Armand Neville's not written in the book. Right? He said, but what is to take place in the day that Armand Neville is upon the earth is written in the book. You know what? That puts his name in the book. What about it? Let's stand together. Think on these things. The book of Revelations can be understood. Satan don't want you to understand it because it shows his origin and it shows his destruction. It shows what he's trying to do. He's trying his best to twist this message to get people to where that they don't believe it. I rejoiced the other day, and most of you know about it. I mean, all of you probably does, where that they had the brother attacked up in Jeffersonville, you know, and they put it on the news media, you know, and everything. I thank God that the two men that they got a hold of and what they said. But old brother, Wilbur Collins, sitting there, he said, this message is not about William Branham. This message is about Jesus Christ. I rejoiced about it. Why? Because if they'd got a hold of some of these kooks, what would it have been? Bad enough, right? But what would it have been if they'd have got a hold of some? Yes, sir, we believe he was Almighty God. We believe, man, we believe it. We put our whole life on it. This was God. You know, they're sincere, though. I don't throw off on nobody. Because you know what? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you and I would be just as deceived. Right? We'd be in the same case if anybody else. Oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah, you. It just don't work out. Let's find ourselves in the book. And then we can glory in it, okay? What we got, brother?
Create in me a clean heart. It's 539 this morning.
539. Anybody has a need, the altar's open.
Create in me a clean heart.
Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Is that your desire? Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And do what? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because he knew he didn't have any. It was God's salvation he wanted. What about it? See yourself in the book. Read the book of Revelation. Read it looking for yourself. And look what's taking place now. You can spend 6 months preaching out of the church ages to show that it compared, and 3 months to show how the lights when compared to where we are. And the way things are today. Because nobody wants to say anything about anybody else. Oh, we're all going to the same place. Probably right. Might be a little hot, but a lot of people go in the same place. What about it? Do you have the Holy Spirit?
According to my Bible, no man by the Spirit of God can call Jesus a curse. You can't call him Jesus Christ except by the Holy Spirit.
I appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Do you? I love you. Why? Because look where he's brought us. Look at the message he's brought us to. Are we something special? No, we're what he's made special. With nothing no good about any of us. What the prophet say in the church age book, talking about Moses and all of them? He said they had many marks against them, but they were chosen of God. You guide me. You're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Do you believe it? Ain't God good to give us so many blessings on deserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, right? A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? You love Him. A new creation. That's why He's so good. Look what He's done. Are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. Who are we then? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are the people. You know, a man one time, big preacher, said Jesus was just half God. Well, everybody else was probably, what do you know? I said, glory, hallelujah. I said, you know what? That makes me half God. Because the Bible says we're joint heirs. So whatever He is, I am. I'd be glad to be half with you. But He chose to make me a whole. He chose to give me His love, His understanding, His life, and make me joint heirs. New creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. But then a conqueror. That's what I am. Let's just let them play one now and just clap and listen to beautiful music. But I believe God enjoys it, don't He? Beautiful, isn't it? I hope you can hear as well as I can hear it right now. Ain't God good, surely? Ain't God good to give us so many? We started out here, we had an old piano. Joyce was trying to play and learning. Well, Brother Collie there come along. He went to school one time trying to learn how to start a song off where he could be the song leader. I sit down sometime and look up here and I see more people than what was up here when we started the church. No. And then see God unfold Himself, bringing in people to hear. Thank God. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Let's do one more before we go. What we got?
Let's go to 228 knee flat. Jesus, hold my hand.
Just remember, as I said, please read the book of Revelations. Just keep reading it over and over. And read, see. Get the church age book and read it.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a brand new walking.
Right. He leads me
through the seas, and it is the sun.
Stop, Calvary. What about it? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you have the ability to understand the book of Revelation? Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't. We'll get to it where the prophet said it was a prophetic people. Some people say, no, Brother Branham was a prophet. Well, why the eagles all over everything? A prophetic people. Even the world put eagles out. This is a prophetic age. 464 seal book, read it. Brother Branham says, on the day of Azusa Street, that the Holy Ghost came Himself in a great prophet. Brother Branham wasn't there. He said, later, at the end of the age, a messenger comes. He called that Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the only prophet. He said, Brother Branham was a prophet. He was a prophet. The Holy Ghost is the prophet. Get it right and it fits good. Well, you think Azusa Street was something great? Yes, it was. Oh, they just believe in gifts. Well, I believe in gifts. Don't you? See, that was the person, Brother Brown said, of Jesus Christ. Now, come on, He didn't say Luther, Wesley, and them, that it was a birth just like it was on the day of Pentecost. But He did when He brought it to Azusa Street. That was a move of God. Sure, they cabbage down on tongues as evidence. It don't make no difference. God was moving. He was there. Those people fought all kind of things trying to preach the truth. What most people don't understand, Azusa Street was Trinitarian. The oneness doctrine never came till about 1912. Come on, read your history. They were Trinitarians. Dr. F.F. Bossert was a Trinitarian. But telling Brother Branham it, he was waiting on that gift to come. Who was it? The Mormons in their prophecy of a man said there'll be a man by the name of William Branham that'll come through California. See, they had the Spirit of God. And it led them to the truth. What about you and I? You're dismissed. Pray one for another.